From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua as he concludes a message entitled Redemption Accomplished and Applied. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Care of the Poor. The text is Psalm 41 and verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Remember that this is a promise to the man who considers the poor. Are you one of these? Then take home the text. See how in the hour of sickness the God of the poor will bless the man who cares for the poor. The everlasting arms shall stay up his soul, as friendly hands and downy pillows stay up the body of the sick. How tender and sympathizing is this image! How near it brings our God to our infirmities and sicknesses! Who ever heard this of the old heathen Jove, or the gods of India or China? This is language peculiar to the God of Israel. He it is who deigns to become nurse and attendant upon good men. If he smites with one hand, he sustains with the other. Oh, it is blessed fainting when one falls upon the Lord's own bosom and is borne thereon. Grace is the best of restoratives. Divine love is the safest stimulant for a languishing patient. It makes the soul strong as a giant, even when the bones are breaking through the skin. No physician like the Lord, no tonic like His promise, no wine like His love. If the listener has failed in his duty to the poor, let him see what he is losing, and at once become their friend and helper.
Jesus, my shepherd, save me.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Text for this message is found in Joshua chapter 13, verses 1 and 6. Now an old man, Joshua, had fulfilled the mission of conquering the major cities of the land of Canaan. His work was done, although the people had yet to possess all of the territory for themselves. In verse 6, God instructed Joshua to settle the people in the land and to divide it to them by lot. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has been drawing a parallel between the work of Joshua and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ set out to win the blessings of God's grace for lost sinners. Then he had to ensure the settlement of those blessings upon his people. By his death on the cross, the Lord Jesus offered a successful propitiatory sacrifice to God. In other words, he satisfied the wrath of God against those for whom he made that sacrifice. As Christ made clear in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, God the Father had given him a people. Here we come to the sovereignty of God in salvation. As Dr. Cairns is demonstrating, this does not abrogate man's responsibility. Rather, it emphasizes great confidence in the salvation of sinners. As Israel was commanded to drive out the Canaanites, so God's people are admonished to drive out the world, the flesh, and the devil from their lives, and to possess that which Christ has secured for them. Now to conclude this message, redemption accomplished and applied, here is Dr. Cairns.
I hear an awful lot of criticism from Arminian preachers who say that we who are Reformed, all we do is use logic, we use philosophy, we don't use Scripture. I want you to know, and I trust you've noticed, that I have very liberally used the Scripture, but I am not afraid to stop and stand and look at that Scripture and allow the Scripture to mean what it says and say what it means. And I'm not going to come to the Scripture and then invent an Arminian philosophy of logic that evacuates the Scripture of all its meaning. You see, what I'm getting at is, there is no failure in our greater Joshua. There is no frustration. The Lord Jesus Christ is not sitting in heaven, a frustrated mediator. Oh, I wanted to do so much, and those mighty men wouldn't allow me. I get sick, sore, and tired of listening to preachers telling the world what Christ will do if only we will allow Him. What? What? Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? Now come to your Bible. Tell me. Or have we descended to the level of preaching an impotent Christ or a semi-impotent Christ who would do a whole lot if only we would allow Him? My friend, I want to tell you, the Christ of this book is a sovereign Christ. He is an almighty Christ. He is a successful Christ. There is no failure. There is no frustration in His work. Listen to Isaiah 53 and verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be brokenhearted. Is that what it says? He shall see of the travail of his soul and have a little bit of joy that he saw so much done, but a little bit of sadness that he didn't see more done. Thank God that's not in my Bible. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Notice again, when he bears the iniquity, he justifies. You cannot draw a great line of distinction, or should I say division, between these. Christ intended his work to be conferred upon all his people. Christ accomplished all he intended, and therefore he infallibly applies all his work to all for whom he did it. Now that brings me to the final thing, and that is that this sovereign grace of God in Christ emphasizes our personal responsibility to appropriate the work of Christ by faith. Go back to Joshua. He waged the war, and he won the land. Then he settled the inheritance on each tribe. But listen, each tribe had the responsibility to possess that land by faith. Here's the complete parallel with Christ. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Those two things, God's sovereignty, it is God who's working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's sovereignty and man's personal faith, working out his own salvation, receiving by faith and living by faith the salvation of God. In the minds of men, those two things are contradictory. But not in the mind of God. It's the perverted, depraved logic of man that puts a contradiction where God says there's total harmony. I've often quoted to you the words of Spurgeon. When someone asked him years and years ago, obviously, "Mr. Spurgeon, can you reconcile God's sovereignty and man's responsibility?" He simply shrugged and said, "I never try to reconcile friends." If these were contradictory, I would have to reconcile them. But God puts them right together. Indeed, God puts His sovereignty as the basis upon which to exercise our responsibility. Listen to me very carefully. The sovereignty of God's grace in salvation is not an excuse for carelessness. It is a reason for confidence. The sovereignty of grace is not an excuse for carelessness. It's a reason for confidence. I was just doing some radio programs last night, and my attention was on the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. He speaks of the Lamb of God, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. Foreordained and manifested for you. That's particular. Who do by Him believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory. I have met people in my life who say, I can't come to Christ for I don't know if I'm elect. Liars. Liars. The real reason they don't come to Christ is their wicked, willful, wretched unbelief. That's why they won't come to Christ. It's their love of self. It's their love of sin. That's why they won't come to Christ. But if they will, if they want Him, they can have Him. And they will have Him. And they will know all He did for me. He didn't do it potentially. He did it actually. You see, the truth is, there is the land. I have purchased it. Take it. And if you won't take it, you'll never have it. I want you to know this, that the sovereign grace of Jesus Christ always, always produces faith in those who would come to be saved. You're not be saved without that faith in Jesus. Therefore, arise and take what's promised to you. Sinners who would have Christ should arise and take Him. For as many as received Him, to them give He the power to become the sons of God. There's no excuse for you staying in your sin. No excuse at all. But if you'll come to Christ, here's a great reason for confidence. Here's a great reason when you receive Christ, you receive an absolute cleansing, an absolute justification by faith in Him. Because what He did was absolutely successful. Strugglers who desire victory, like the children of Israel, they look out and they find many, many obstacles and enemies in their pathway. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Strugglers who desire victory should take it. Work out your own salvation. Christ has not redeemed His people in order that they live in defeat. He has redeemed them to live in victory. Saints who desire God's fullness should take it. For it is the whole land to which Christ has given us the title. There's a fullness in Christ that defies description. There's a height and depth and length and breadth in God's provision in Christ. A fullness for you and me. Paul prayed that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. My friend, let's take the fullness. Oh, there are so many Christians living on the borders of Canaan. So many Christians
living lives of shallowness, frustration, fear, failure, and defeat. When there is an ocean fullness of God's provision, Christ says, I've given you the title to the land. Work out your own salvation. Because listen, God has worked for you and He's now working in you. Those who serve Christ, desire His power for service, should take it. There is power to be filled with the Holy Ghost and serve God mightily. I said a while ago that one of the blessings the Lord Jesus purchased by His blood shedding for His church was the work of the Holy Spirit applying Christ to His people. Pentecost was purchased at Calvary. The power of the Holy Ghost is a blood-bought right of the Church of Jesus Christ. There is such a thing as the power of the Holy Ghost. It's a covenant blessing. Possess the land. Take it. Oh, for deliverance from the impotence of the flesh. Having begun in the Spirit, we will not be made perfect in the flesh. Having been saved by grace through faith, we're not going to see others saved by the works of the flesh. It will be by grace through faith and the power of the Spirit given thereby. Let's get the picture here. As we look at Joshua, we see our greater Joshua, who died for us, who now lives and intercedes for us, in order that we should have all the purchased blessings actually conferred upon us. They belong to us. They belong to us. See the picture. We will explore this more fully as the Lord leads in days to come. But see the picture. There's the land. It's our land. Just as Israel could look at that land and say, it's our land. Joshua has given it to us. It's our land. But there were Canaanites. They were still in occupation. They needed to be driven out. So with us, we look out there. That's our land. That's our fullness. That's our victory. That's our spiritual blessing. That's our ability to live and serve God in the freedom of the gospel. And yet we find the world and the flesh and the devil occupying pockets here, raising resistance there. Joshua from heaven says, possess the land, take it. However powerfully Satan disputes our possession of the blessings of the covenant of grace, they are ours in Jesus Christ. Listen to it. The possession of the land for the people of God does not depend on their strength or their merit. It depends on the greatness of their Savior. Depends on Christ. He has accomplished our redemption. He intends us to enter fully into the enjoyment of it. Then let us not be contempt to leave one inch of our inheritance unpossessed. I trust that the Lord will use His word to exalt our sovereign and successful Savior and to encourage our hearts to enter into all that Christ has purchased and has conferred upon all His people. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for sovereign grace. We thank Thee, our God, that it is not an excuse for carelessness. We thank Thee, rather, it is the very ground of our confidence. And all we thank Thee that a sight of all that Christ has done stirs the heart to believe and to trust and to obey. Lord, give us a clear sight of our Savior. May we go away from this house today rejoicing in the finished, successful work of our Savior. Gracious God, let us this day, as we prayed right at the very beginning, have deep, fresh thoughts of Christ. Bring the lost to Him. Bring the backslidden to Him. Lord, lead saints into His fullness and the enjoyment of that great land of promise. Hear our prayer. Part us with Thy blessing. Keep us in Thy fear. We ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.